We welcome you to our studio broadcast. I have here with me our studio audience, whose presence will help energize the teaching of today. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We are broadcasting from Beth Israel Ministries onto the world, trying to use this studio session to get involved in the doctrines that are making round on the internet, so that we can also make our contributions to aid the truth as the scripture reveals to us. Amen.
Amen.
You must understand that if this Bible is distorted, either by omission or addition, in any form, our entire faith is lost immediately. Our entire faith as believers in Christ is hinged on the written word of God. Written word of God. The written word of God is far better than the revelation of that written word. Because if you do not have the written word, then anybody can come up with any type of revelation. And you ask the person, this revelation you've gotten, from where? Where is it coming from? Where is the written word for it? And the person says, no, I received it direct from God. Paul said he did not learn this gospel from any man before him, from all the apostles that were before him. He learned it at the feet of Jesus as he went to Arabia. But when you look at Paul, you see that he didn't go to sit down and wait for Jesus to talk to him. Meaning that he was busy studying the scripture. And the Lord opened his eyes in the scripture to see, because all of his teachings did not deviate from the scripture, did not walk away from the scripture. Paul confined himself to the scripture so that he referred to the scriptures to argue in favor of anything or against anything. And in all Paul's argument, or in all of his letters, never did Paul argue in favor of sin. Never did Paul argue in favor of sin letting anyone enter heaven. Never did Paul argue against tithe, for there was no scripture that Paul can use to fight against tithe. There's no scripture. So you need to know the true pastor from the false pastor. When a pastor can put forth an argument that has no scripture to strengthen it, then the pastor is not arguing the argument of God. Amen.
Amen.
The law has scripture strengthening tithing within the law. Now, we are not under the law. So, therefore, we put away the practices of the law that include tithing. Okay? We are under grace. So, we put on the practices of grace that include tithing. For in grace, there is no argument against tithe. For there was no scripture that can be used to fight tithe. So in grace, the people of grace searched diligently to see if the subject of tithe was in any way what a believer should be involved in. Why? Because the same argument that is going on now was going on then. Should we pay tithe or should we not pay tithe? It was part of the bubbling argument within the church. That is why the Holy Ghost saw the need to resolve this matter. This matter we are fighting here. Now, the Holy Ghost has already resolved it by bringing a revelation drawn from the scripture to resolve the issue of tithing by giving the believer the connection between the believer and Christ, and referring us to Melchizedek, telling us that you see that relationship between Melchizedek and Abraham, where Abraham responded by tithing. Amen. That was the means by which Abraham received the blessing. For the lesser is blessed by the greater. So Abraham was the lesser who gave tithe to the greater that blessed him. So it means tithe is the least faith you can show God. Tithe is the beginning of faith when it comes to receiving blessing. That when Jesus, who is our own Melchizedek, the greater, is to bless us, we respond to him as Abraham did. For when we are born again, we are the seeds of Abraham by faith. Why circumcision was ruled out by the apostle, that it is not a revelation for the church, is because circumcision was not of faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why? Circumcision is of the flesh of Abraham. The commandment is that Abraham and his own descendants, biological descendants, amen, are to circumcise their foreskin of their flesh. Now, we are not born of the flesh of Abraham. So we cannot also join his biological descendant to circumcise our foreskin. If we circumcise in the Gentile realm, it is actually not for the same reason that Abraham and his descendants were circumcised. For our covenant with God is not entered in the circumcision. We have no covenant of God with a circumcision of the flesh. For we are born of the Spirit of God. So it is our human spirit that is born again. Therefore, our circumcision is the circumcision of the Spirit. So we are circumcised the day we are born again. Our heart is circumcised. Our spirit is circumcised. So if we now practice the circumcision of the flesh as an act of righteousness in Christ Jesus, then our born again will profit us nothing. That's what Paul argued. For God, knowing that the Gentiles will also be part of Abraham's grace, he ordered circumcision while he was not under the law, so that circumcision will become a revelation to us that when we believe in Jesus, our hearts are circumcised unto a covenant with God, and we become the seed of Abraham by faith, not by flesh, through the circumcision of our hearts. So if you look at Moses, you see where Moses kept crying to the people, telling them, circumcise your heart. But it was not possible because the ability for the heart to be circumcised was not yet there. It had to be the circumcision of the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
Also, the scripture at that same chapter 14, scripture made tithe there available. Now, Holy Ghost came. He saw that tithe would be an issue in the body of Christ. He saw it. This fighting we are fighting about tithe, and Holy Ghost has already seen it. So the Holy Ghost raised up a man of God, whoever he was. I know he is Paul, but there is an argument that the writer of Hebrews is not Paul. But I know, for the handwriting of Paul is everywhere in Hebrews. I can prove it. However, whoever he was, all right, for the sake of not raising up argument, let me not say Paul said, since it is not certain who wrote the book of Hebrews. But whoever he is, that wrote the book of Hebrews obviously wrote it to the church, not to the Jews. And that is the reason why it is called Hebrews. Because the word Hebrew is gotten from the word Hebron, which is a land purchased by Abraham in the Philistine line as a grazing field and a residential area of Abraham, far away from the Philistines. So he was called a Hebrew because he lived in Hebron. That's how he inherited the name Abraham the Hebrew. The Philistines, the Amorites, the Jebusites called him the Hebrew because he lived in Hebron. Amen? Amen. So why this book is named Hebrew is because this man is talking to the sons of Abraham who are born again by faith. Amen? Amen. So it is the Hebrews that he's talking to. Both those who are born of Abraham in the flesh, who give their life to Christ, and those who are not of Abraham in the flesh, that have given their life to Christ, they were reckoned as sons of Abraham. So they are the Hebrews. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So you see, in that book of Hebrews, Holy Ghost, the author of both the script and the revelation, gave us an insight into the connection between Abraham and Melchizedek. That it was a type and a shadow of the relationship between Jesus and the church. And thereby, the greater blesses the lesser. So this whole teaching and preaching of the word of God is a blessing. The blessings of God are released on the earth through teaching and preaching of the word. When the pastor speaks the word into your life, he is blessing you. So how do you receive the blessing? Just like faithful Abraham did. By responding to the blessing through tithing. So the Lord Jesus, the greater, through the teaching and the preaching of the word of God, blesses his church. And his church, the lesser, receive the blessing by responding through tithing. So it means the Holy Ghost pointed us to what Abraham and Melchizedek did as something to be practiced in the body of Christ. So it bothers me when some people now come and begin to argue tithe from Malachi. That's why I told you that both the pro-tithing pastors and the anti-tithing pastors, the reason the tithing matter is heated up is because the premise upon which they are standing to argue the tithe is a wrong premise. The pro-tithing pastors are arguing the tithe based on, if you don't pay tithe, the heavens are shut and so will happen. And blah, 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 blah. Yes, it is true. But however, because it is in the Old Testament, it is the Old Testament people that have been confronted with that scripture. The New Testament believers say, we are not those people. So that scripture does not apply to us. We are not the ones that those things are being said to. It was those that were under the law. So the prophet was not sent to the church, but to those that are under the law, which is right. And the pro-tithing people say, no, that scripture is, that thing is part of the Bible, and Bible belongs to the church. So that we must quote that part. It affects us also. So the premise upon which both the pro-tithing pastors and the anti-tithing pastors are arguing is what is heating up the matter. Because they are arguing on the wrong premise. And they will never be able to resolve it. But when you shift the premise to the right premise, which is Hebrews, that this tithing is a relationship, is a connection between Abraham and Melchizedek, that Melchizedek was the greater who blessed Abraham by the word of God. He spoke the word of God to Abraham. And Abraham is the lesser who received the blessing through tithing. And that this has been brought into our notice, that the relationship that Melchizedek is our Jesus. For Jesus has already been ordained after he entered the holies with his blood. He has been ordained a priest after the order of Melchizedek. So we also are children after the order, children of God after the order of Abraham. Therefore, the relationship between Abraham and Melchizedek ought to continue in the church, between the church and Jesus. So if we argue tight on this premise, then tithing, anti-tithing pastors have to shut up. Pro-tithing pastors will stop arguing tight from the wrong premise and argue it from the right premise. Amen?
Amen.
There are many things that are right, but done in the wrong place.
Yes, sir.
And at the wrong time.
Yes, sir.
Transport that same thing that is done in the wrong place and at the wrong time, transport it to the right place and the right time, it suddenly becomes right. So what is the problem of the pro-tithing pastors is that they don't know the premise from which they should argue tithe. And the anti-tithing pastors are arguing tithe from the wrong premise too. As long as they argue tithe from the standpoint of Malachi and the standpoint of the law, they are right that such practices should not be done in the church. That is, they are right, so they hold tight to it. But the pro-tithing pastors, as long as they argue tithing from the Old Testament standpoint, they themselves are wrong. The Bible says, because there was a need to change the covenant from an old law to a new law of grace, there was also a need to change the priesthood. For the priesthood of the old law cannot be the priesthood of the new law. So that is why God changed from Aaron to Melchizedek. So instead of Christ being conferred with the priesthood of Aaron in order to continue in the church, so that the priesthood of Aaron will continue in the church. If the priesthood of Aaron continues in the church, it will mean that Malachi is the right premises to argue tithe from. But because the priesthood of Aaron it does not continue in the church, arguing tithe from Malachi is not proper. Now, tithe is tithe. The effect of it and the result of it is the same. But the premise from which you draw your argument might make it difficult for you to win the argument. Amen?
Amen.
So arguing tight from Hebrews chapter 7 is where the spirit of grace lies. So if tithe was in any way obsolete in the mind of God, God will not create confusion by bringing tithe into discussion of grace, which we are now under. For we are not under the law, we are under grace. But the Holy Ghost, through this writer of Hebrews, brought tithe back into the discussion of grace, back into the body of Christ. So that today, if anybody sees tithe as an Old Testament practice, we will ask the person why. He will go to Malachi. He will go to the law. He will go to all those places. Then we will tell the person, sir, under the law, and your argument is right, because we are not supposed to practice the law. But, sir, you are arguing from the wrong premise. The premise of argument is in Hebrews chapter 7. And if any pro-tithing pastor goes into the Bible and goes to the Old Testament to draw up what he will use to argue tithe, we say, sir, you will not win that argument, because the church is not supposed to be brought under the law anymore. Okay, but if you draw your own argument from Hebrews chapter 7, you have already won the argument. If anyone that is anti-tithe pastor argue tithe from Hebrew against tithe from Hebrews chapter 7, he has already lost the argument. So the Holy Ghost has already won the argument for the church that tithe is come to stay forever. For as long as Jesus remains our high priest, whether in time or in eternity, in everlasting life, tithe remains forever. The only day that tithe will cease in the body of Christ is if Jesus switches the priesthood from Melchizedek to Aaron. And if he switches the priesthood from Melchizedek to Aaron, or if God switches the priesthood of Jesus from the eternal priesthood of Melchizedek to the temporal priesthood of Aaron, we who are born again will automatically become unborn again. Will automatically not be born again, for our high priest has gone back to the law. So we will automatically be brought under the law. But as long as our high priest stays free from the law, for tithe was not paid under the law first, it was paid free from the law. So the law actually borrowed tithe. We are not the one borrowing tithe from the law. The anti-tithing pastors are saying we went into the law and grabbed tithe and drew it out of the law for selfish reasons, so that we can rip people off. That we should return tithe where it belongs in the law. But the first place of tithe was mentioned outside the law. The Bible even says the law itself that was in the loins of Abraham, which is Levi, paid tithe to grace, to Melchizedek. So paying tithe based on Malachi 3, and paying tithe based on all those things in the law is a wrong premise to argue tithe. And that is where people are standing. We need to shift both the pro-tithing pastors and the anti-tithing pastors. We need to shift our tithe argument away from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Then tithing argument will die immediately. Because we know that tithing has come to stay. And no matter how you cry on the internet, you cannot pull down the pillar of tithing. For it is the Holy Spirit that put it there. It's tithe is also a revelation from the script. So the script gave revelation to tithe in the church. So I urge both the tithe, pro-tithing pastors and anti-tithing pastors to shift their premise away from the law and bring their premise to grace, which is Hebrews, and argue tithe from there. Once tithe is argued from here, the anti-tithing pastors have no grounds to protect, to continue talking against tithe. They have no grounds. But if you argue tithe from the law, they have grounds. They may even go ahead and tell you tithe was paid of grains, rice, beans, cattle, this and that, not money, because that is how it was paid under the law. But the tithe that Abraham paid was not grain and rice and beans. It was tithe of all. So regardless of what you are using to pay tithe, whether it's tithe of rice or tithe of beans or tithe of money, it was tithe of all. All means all. Everything he recovered from that battle, gold, silver, copper, iron, wood, clay, whatever he recovered from that place, he paid tithe of all. So the New Testament tithe is not in any way restricted to grains and agrarian products. So all forms of argument in favor or against tithe loses its power if it is based on Old Testament argument. But if you shift the premise to the New Testament premise of Hebrews, only the argument against tithe dies immediately. So that the anti-tithing pastors have no reason whatsoever to have troubled the church with this rascality. They have no reason. This is witchcraft. Because Paul told to the Galatians, he said, "Foolish Galatians, how is it that they have bewitched you? That the thing that they said before you to be right, now some people came and say it is wrong, and you believed it." So tithe is right in the New Testament. So anybody that is troubling the church with anti-tithing message is doing witchcraft against the church. And the Bible says they will bear their own punishment. The Bible says, I wish that those that trouble thee will bear their own punishment. In fact, to the extent that Paul said, he prayed, I wish that they were all together cut off. Do you know what that means? Either removed from the ministry or actually dead. That's the kind of prayer Paul prayed. It's dangerous for you to find a revelation in the New Testament, then you start fighting against it. For everything that God has put in the scripture is what the Holy Ghost uses to give us revelation. And once it passes for revelation, it has passed. There is nothing. See, there is what is called hypothesis. Hypothesis. Hypothesis is, let me say, presumption. As in, there is a hypothesis of everything that people have presumed. For instance, light had 99 hypotheses. Only one theory. What is a theory? A theory is a hypothesis that have been practicalized and found to be effective. It changes from hypothesis to what? Theory. So when they tell you that you hype things, when they tell you that you hype things, it means you are talking things that are not realistic. You are just assuming things, trying to hype things. But when that thing that they claim that you are hyping finds expression and it becomes real, it is no longer hypothesis. It is now theory. Amen? So there are so many hypotheses in science that could not find expression. They couldn't find a means of proving it. So those hypotheses are either shelved or ditched forever. Okay? But the ones that find a means of being proven no longer are hypotheses. They are reality. Every time it is applied, it brings the same result. So tithe is not a hypothesis. Tithe has found its way into the revelation of the New Testament by the help of the Holy Ghost in the book of Hebrews chapter 7. Tithe found his way. Melchizedek is not a hypothesis. It has found its way into the New Testament and has become the revelation of Christ. Abraham is not a hypothesis. By the help of the Holy Ghost, it has found its way into the New Testament and it has become the revelation of us. So tithe cannot in any way be considered as a hypothesis, something that cannot be proven. But rather, it is a revelation. It is something that has been proven to be true. Arguing against a theory is stupidity. You can't argue against the theory of light because it is what brings light to us. Theory. It has been proven that that negative and positive charge, if it is pitched against each other, creates friction and causes molecules to hit against one another. And the speed at which the molecules hit against each other in any conducting material results into a glow, which is called light. Now, try it, it happens. Try it, it happens. Try it 1,000 times, it happens. So you cannot fight against it. You can't fight hypothesis and theory. But a hypothesis is what you challenge people and say, oh yeah, prove it. And as long as there is no proof, it should hold its peace. It should hold its peace.